We were mentioning, I've seen some of you before.
Dan.
We met him at the Orlando conference, and we met before as well. Was that Orlando as well?
Hollywood, in your congregation.
Hollywood, that's right. Yeah. That's right. You visited.
Yeah.
It's great to see you.
Yes, it's good to see you. Okay, I'm done. There went 5 pages of notes. Thank you. We talked before. Now where do I start? From the beginning. The earth was formless and void. And there was a spirit of darkness roaming the face of the earth. Until the Almighty said, "Let there be light." And when there was light, darkness had to flee. Well, where do I start? I have so much for you this morning. Some current events and some not-so-current events. So like Rabbi Absalom said, by rebelling against those two things, the prophecy of Moses and the priesthood of Aaron, the spirit of Koach, is open rebellion to the promises in the very person of Jehovah. But thousands of years of exposure to this spirit may have dulled our collective senses. So here is how the story unfolds. Now Korach, the son of Yiscar, the son of Kohat, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Avram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peled, sons of Reuben, took men and they rose up before Moshe with some of their children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. Now these weren't just so-so guys. These were well-respected members, well-respected men. And yet a spirit got within them that they wanted more. They wanted to rule. They achieved the high place that they were in, and that wasn't enough. How often do we get to that place in life where it's not enough? There's more, and I want it. Whether God gives it to me or not. We're all guilty of it in one form or another. Jacob, can you turn down that light for me, please? Thank you. So they gathered together against Moshe and Aaron and said to them, "You take too much upon yourselves. For all the congregation is holy. We're all the same." Have we heard that somewhere before? We're all the same. But yet we're not. Every one of them, and Jehovah is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of Jehovah? So when Moshe heard this, he fell to his face. And he spoke to Korach and all his company, saying, "Tomorrow morning, Jehovah will show who is his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. The one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near him." Numbers 16, 1 through 5. And Rabbi Absalom went through the lineage of Korach. So let's look at his point. It sounds pretty valid when taken with what has been erroneously called the New Testament theology. After all, every believer is a priest, isn't he or she? Yes, they are. But that's another discussion. Maybe Korach heard a call to the ministry. Maybe he was a seminary graduate with 3 previous pastorates under his belt. Or maybe he was a gifted Billy Graham. Surely Korach had a right to serve Jehovah, didn't he? No, he did not. If it was up to observe Moses and the eternal promise to the descendants of Aaron. His motivation was to usurp Moses. An important insight as to the way that Jehovah responds to Korach's rebellion is found a few weeks ago in the portions from Numbers 12. Miriam was rebelled against Moshe, his authority, and anointing. When she did, the entire camp knew that Jehovah spoke to and through Moshe in an entirely different way than he spoke to anyone else. Moshe was basically the head of the congregation of Israel, much as Rabbi is at the head of this congregation. It's an awesome responsibility to be the head of not only a few million people, but this congregation has survived through the years under his leadership only because the Almighty desired him to lead and desired to have Torah brought into Gainesville. The messianic lifestyle brought to Gainesville. Many students have come through this place and through his teachings and through his facilities and have gone on to serve Adonai in many, many ways. Some have come in and gone just that quick. It wasn't for them and it wasn't their time. But today, the time is really, it's really upon us. As I've spoken before, I'm an alarmist. I'm going to tell you what's going on. I'm going to tell you what's coming. Sam is a teacher. He'll teach you how to handle what's coming. But I'm going to tell you what's coming. And it's going to be rough. We've seen nothing yet. Numbers 12, 6 through 8. Then he, Jehovah, said, "Now hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, Jehovah, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moshe. He is faithful in all my house. I speak to him, pani apani, face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of Jehovah. Why then are you not afraid to speak against my servant Moshe?" Uh-oh. You would think that Korach and his co-conspirators, that's a good name for him, would have learned from what happened to Aaron and Miriam when they complained about how Moshe was somehow treated differently than the others. So let's be honest. No one likes the favorite. Who's the favorite? No one likes the favorite because you know what happens? You start competing for it. That's plain and simple. You want to be the favorite. I want to be the favorite of Adonai, not of any man. And it sure looks like Moshe has set himself up as Jehovah's favorite. Appearances can be deceiving. And Korach did not receive a call, no matter what he said. And Moshe had not set himself up. Jehovah had done that. Whew. Thank you. Family, you will never completely understand Scripture and Jehovah's redemption plan if you do not get this point. Moses is not like everyone else. The prophecy and the anointing of Moshe is the basis of the entire balance of Scripture. I'm getting there. It's page 4 of 12. No. Deuteronomy 18, verses 18 through 19. I will raise up for them a prophet like you, Moshe, from among their brethren, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. It's an awesome responsibility to listen for his voice. It's even better when you do it. I mean, let's face it, we can hear what our bosses say, hear what our spouses say, hear what our children say, and we don't really have to do or not do. But when Jehovah says it, brings on a whole different meaning. Life, death. That's the option. The apostolic writers themselves repeatedly draw upon this passage. Peter's in Acts 3, Stephen in Acts 7 tell us that Yeshua is that prophet like Moses. Though we know that the anointing and authority of Yeshua is superior to that of Moshe, we also know that since the source is the same from Jehovah, and we know that if someone rebels against Moshe, then they are in fact rebelling against Jehovah. Likewise, if somebody rebels against Moshe, they are rebelling against Yeshua, who is Jehovah come in the flesh. According to the words of the Master himself, if one disregards the prophet's prophetic testimony of Moshe, one will not truly follow the Master Yeshua. Luke 16:31. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moshe and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise up from the dead. Here is the fundamental biblical principle. The light to the heavy. This is a very biblical way of making comparisons. Yeshua does it repeatedly when he uses the phrase, how much more? Family, if our theology is in rebellion against the revelation of Moshe, how much more will it be in rebellion against the revelation of Yeshua the Messiah? He being the living Torah. But therefore, you get too worked up about men who have usurped the only head of Jehovah's congregation, which would have been Yeshua himself. Look in the mirror. The rebellion of Korach will be staring back at you. We all rebel against the Torah of the Almighty. This rebellion is the very essence of sin. The family disciple John tells us this. 1 John 3:4, whoever commits sin again also commits Torahlessness. And sin is Torahlessness. Now, your typical versions of the Bible say lawless and lawlessness. Well, Torah is the teachings and instructions of the Almighty. Too many times people go, law? Ooh. Stay away. No. Draw near. Draw close. Cling to it. Because when you cling to the Torah, you not only cling to Jehovah, you cling to Yeshua. If we explore this further in the apostolic scriptures, we will discover the rebellion against the Torah is something that Korach and the coming Antichrist share. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 and 7 through 8. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Jehovah, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of Jehovah, showing himself that he is Jehovah. For the mysteries of the Torahlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the Torahlessness one will be revealed, whom Jehovah will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Revelation 19:20. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of burning with brimstone. Don't rejoice. Numbers 16:31 through 33. Now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, with their households and all the men with Korah, with all their goods. So they and all those them that went down alive into the pit, the earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. Will God do that again? Unfortunately, there was a man in Brandon around the Tampa area that learned that lesson the hard way. The earth opened up underneath his bedroom and swallowed him alive. His other brother heard him screaming as he went down. I'm not the judge. Can't figure it out. Don't want to. But there's a reason for everything. The spirit that ruled Korach and will rule the Antichrist is the same spirit that rebels against Jehovah and his instructions. It is the same spirit that declares that Yeshua is not the Messiah. 1 John 4, 1-3. Dear friends, don't trust every spirit. On the contrary, test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have come into the world. Here is how you recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit which acknowledges that Yeshua the Messiah came as a human being is from God, and every spirit which does not acknowledge Yeshua is not from God. In fact, this is the spirit of the anti-Messiah. You have heard that he is coming. Well, he's here now in the world already. 1 John 4, 1-3. Moses did not receive an eternal revelation of Jehovah. The words he wrote down were not valid, and this is what the lying spirit says. Moses did not receive an eternal revelation from Jehovah. The words he wrote down are not valid and are annulled. The law of Moses does not apply to me. To disobey the law of Moses is not a sin. This has been perpetrated in the Christian church. And many of us have sat under it. And many of us, all of us here, have been freed from it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You'd be in church tomorrow. However, that same spirit also lies and perverts the words that Jehovah gave to Moshe. So, family, there's a rebellion in the camp of Jehovah. There are men and women who are seeking to claim a position and an anointing that is equal to or superior to that of Moshe. In that, they do not speak for Jehovah, nor are they honoring the one shepherd of the flock of Jehovah, which is Yeshua. They have not heard a calling, if that calling is to perpetrate rebellion against Jehovah's words and his promises to Aaron and the descendants of Aaron. There is a rebellion in the camp every time we sin. Every time we read the words of the Almighty and turn to our own way, we are following Korach's rebellion. Ouch. There's a reason why we naturally rebel against the words that Jehovah spoke through Moshe. When sometimes the words we find in the New Covenant seem more appealing. It is because of this, from Numbers 12:8, I speak with him, Moshe, pani a pani, face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. There's nothing hidden from Jehovah. Nothing. He can see, he can hear everything. No one can run from him. No one can hide from him. Family, we are naturally uncomfortable with the specifics. The Torah is quite detailed at times and is very difficult to swallow. Pun intended. That what we eat or what we wear matters to Jehovah. Now much easier it is to read, love one another, and apply it in a way that makes sense to us. If you want to read and obey the two greatest commandments, love Jehovah, love your neighbor, you better start studying Torah. Because it is within that we find the very definition of those commands. Apart from the Torah, the apostolic scriptures have no foundation, since it is from the Torah itself that the apostolic scriptures claim their authority and inspiration from Jehovah. Now we'll skip over to some current events. Thank you, Jacob, for pulling those scriptures up. What I'm about to read is partially our fault. Partially the believers' fault because they didn't take a stand. Dr. Michael Brown in 2014 said, "For years I've been sounding the alarm about an impending social, cultural, and spiritual crisis. And for years critics have compared me to Chicken Little, discounting my warnings as the ravings of a hysterical religious fundamentalist. Well, it's a little late for that now. 10 years ago, I chartered this progression and made this prediction. Number one, gay activists will come out of the closet. Number two, they demand their rights. Number three, they demand that everyone recognize those rights. Number four, they want to strip away the rights of those who oppose them. And number five, they want to put those who oppose their rights into the closet." Initially, I was met with scorn and derision. No one wants to put you in the closet. The last few years, the tone has changed to, bigots like you belong in the closet. I hate to say it, but I told you so. After the forced resignation of Mozilla CEO Brendan Eich, the influential gay blogger Andrew Sullivan wrote, "The whole episode disgusts me, as it should disgust anyone interested in a tolerant and diverse society. If this is the gay rights movement today, hounding our opponents with a fanaticism more like the religious right than anybody else, they can count me out." Not long after, the ultra-liberal Bill Maher said on the Real Time, "I think there's a gay mafia. I think if you cross them, you do get whacked." I I know you all know Michael Brown. He doesn't mince words. How many like watching The Chosen? I'm going to bust your bubble. And I apologize, but I don't apologize. So the headline is Great Respect and Serious Concern to the Chosen after a pride flag was displayed on equipment while they were filming. Dallas Jenkins, producer of The Chosen, has responded directly to the question of why a crew member of the hit series about Yeshua, I like saying Yeshua, but they got Jesus, so, was allowed to display the LBGB, whatever, all these letters and numbers and dashes, pride flag on set, in particular during Pride Month. What should we make of his very candid and personal response? So, I'm not going to read all of this, but I'm going to leave this for you to read. It's quite shakingly moving. So I will be deleting the app off of my phone. You can do whatever you want. But this, friends, this is disturbing even more than that. Queering Jesus. How is going mainstream at progressive churches and top divinity schools? A Presbyterian church goes viral online for making the Transgender Day of Visibility with a public prayer to the God of Pronouns. The congregants of the church, First Presbyterian of Iowa City, pay obeisance to the God of Trans Being, giving due glory to the great they, them. A Presbyterian course offered last year for Pride Month, the inaugural summer series of Queering the Bible, Queering the Gospel of Mark. This year is Queering the Prophets. The United Methodist Church boasts the first drag queen in the world to become a certified candidate for ordination. This traveling minister, who describes drag ministry as a divine duty, is lauded by a Florida pastor as an angel in heels. Sorry, I didn't put out barf bags, but it's, yeah. After appearing in that church in a sequin dress to deliver a children's sermon and denounce the privilege of whiteness and sissiness. At Duke University's Methodist-affiliated Divinity School, pastors in training and future religious leaders conduct a pride worship service in which they glorify the great queer one, fluid and ever-becoming one. The service leads off with a prayer honoring God as queerness incarnate. You are drag queen and trans man and gender fluid, incapable of limiting your vast expression of beauty. That's what they said. And the Presbyterian News Service offers online educational series such as Queering the Bible, 2022, Queering the Prophets, 2023, during Pride Month. A commentary in the former refers to Jesus as the eccentric donkey freak. Don't want to use a three-letter word. Who challenged first century gender norms. Critics say that a queer Jesus is a perverse and blasphemous fiction invented by queer folks for reasons of self-justification and, excuse me, and other LGBTQI Christians of being deviant, queer minister and author Robert E. Shore Goss wrote in 2021. Shore Goss is an ordained Catholic Jesuit priest who fell in love with another Jesuit, resigned from the Society of Jesus, and worked as a pastor in the MCC United Church of Christ in the Valley in North Hollywood, California. MCC stands for Metropolitan Community Church. And I already told you there's one here out on Archer Road. Reputedly the world's most queer-affirming denomination that includes churches that perform, I'm not even going to say the word, nuptial rites to marry multiple partners. That should disturb you. That should make you want to stand up and say something and voice your opinion. For so long, we've been scared to keep our mouths shut. Oh, we're going to offend him. Keeping your mouth shut is offending him. He's given you a voice. He's given you the power through his Holy Spirit, his Ruach HaKodesh. And if you squelch that, I don't want to know. And one more. World Economic Forum contributor says AI could rewrite the Bible, create a correct religion, from CBN. Concerns about the potential misuse of artificial intelligence, AI, are escalating yet again after the prominent professor and philosopher said he believes AI could rewrite a new Bible within just a few years. Yuval Noah Harari. Does anybody know that besides Sam? Anybody know him? Anytime you see Klaus Schwab, you'll see him standing next to him. Okay? Bad. Bad news bears. He's a bad news bear. Period. Known for being a contributor and a speaker at the World Economic Forum, is promoting the idea that AI will be able to generate a new globally acceptable religious book. Harari's prediction is raising alarms for conservatives and Christians since the Bible is considered sacred as God's holy word to mankind. Harari explained AI's purpose in writing a new Bible during a recent forum called AI and the Future of Humanity. He says, it's the first technology ever that can create new ideas. You know, the printing press, radio, television, they all broadcast and they spread the ideas created by the human brain, by the human mind, he said. Harari said AI will soon be able to invent new concepts and the beliefs that there are more socially acceptable than the Bible. AI can create new ideas. It can even write new Bible, he said. Throughout history, religions dreamt about having a book written by a superhuman intelligence, by a non-human entity, Harari explained. Now he believes AI will become that new type of God. In a few years, there might be religions that are actually correct. Just think about a religion whose holy book is written by an AI, Harari said. That could be a reality in a few years. A few years ago, Harari wrote a commentary called The Globe and the Mail, mocking the Bible, saying, centuries ago, millions of Christians locked themselves inside a self-reinforcing mythological bubble, never daring to question the factual veracity of the Bible. He is a professor at Tel Aviv University. Israel. He's an Israeli. Hello? Billions of people have believed in these stories for thousands of years. Some fake news lasts forever. I pray that none of us fall for this. The enemy, like Rabbi would say, is the tiki bird. always trying to mock our faith, mock our beliefs, to try to pull us away from a relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm not going to worship a machine. I can tell you that right now. I can look at the camera and tell you. I will not worship a machine. I will worship Jehovah and Yeshua, period. Amen.